Let me pray for us. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you for this wonderful day. I thank you for the ability to be here. Thank you for the wonderful weather. Lord, we pray that as your word is preached from the Bible, God, that your spirit would work. God, we look forward to what you have for us today as we talk about fatherhood and investing in our children, Lord. Will you speak a word specifically to us? Thank you. In your good name we pray. Amen. Amen. So it is Father's Day. And so I hope it's okay with those of you who are not fathers, but my message is going to be particularly to fathers today. Does that sound all right? If you disagree, I'm sorry. I don't know what to do, but that's what we're going to do. You know, my first experience ever having to care for a kid was when I was 9 years old. My younger brother is 9 years younger than me. So when he was born, my parents didn't really let me touch him because they were afraid I would do something bad to him. But one time we were going camping, and my mom said, "Hey, do you want to hold your little brother?" And I said, "Yeah, that'd be great." So I sat on a rock, and I had my little toddler, he wasn't even toddler, baby brother on my lap, and my parents left me. They started going on a hike, and I thought, this is cool, the responsibility of holding on to a kid, and this is wild. And then a few minutes later, I felt something wet and somewhat gross on my bare leg.
Nice. Yeah.
And I looked down, and my little brother had gone number two.
Oh.
And it leaked all over my leg.
Yeah.
And I thought, I never want to be a dad. That was my thought. There's no way I'm going to deal with this. Yes. And then some of you remember kind of the first time you were dads, that experience of this baby. And I'm responsible for this kid. It's awesome. You know, I had a father's delight this morning. I woke up, and I kind of had breakfast, and my two little boys woke up. And they ran up to me, and they said, "Happy Father's Day, Daddy." And I have a four-year-old and two-year-old. I'm just hugging them, thinking, this is like a dad's delight. I can't ask for anything more. Just as I was thinking that, my two-year-old in his excitement just bit me on the shoulder real hard. And I was in I'm like, "Name!" You know, so the reality of, you know, there's good things about fatherhood, and there's some hard things as well. You know, we have things called premarital counseling for couples who are about to get married. I think we need pre-parental counseling, don't you think? Because I tell you, I had no idea what I was getting into. It was just an amazing thing. So I realize that for you dads, all of us are in different stages of fatherhood. There's some of you who are dads to little kids, some of you who are empty nesters, your kids are out of the house. And so I'm going to do my best to cover the range, but I realize there's a lot of different situations that we're in. Also, I want to say this, as we go into God's Word today, I am preaching as a dad who is still learning. As I was looking at Scripture, I realized there's so much more for me to learn. So I'm going to do things a little different today and share what I'm discovering in the Bible about fatherhood. But the one thing I have realized, and that is a growing conviction, is the ultimate importance of fatherhood. Fatherhood is just so important. You know, I went online and found all kinds of statistics. Get this. There's one study that found that children who grow up with both a dad and a mom do significantly better in school, in marriage. They do better economically. They receive better grades. They complete more schooling. They're 10% more likely to graduate from high school. They're more likely to marry, earn more income, and accumulate more wealth. Just by having the dad in the home. You know, I have a vision for our church that we will be a dad, or we will be a church of dads who men take responsibility for their kids, see it as a high calling, see it as something to be cherished, see it as a responsibility that people will come to Edgewater and know this is a group that takes fatherhood really seriously. Because we need that. Doesn't it sound like a good vision? We need dads. And so we want to be a church that takes fatherhood seriously. Well, the passage we're going to look at today, it comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. In this letter, Paul is writing to a church in Ephesus, and he ends the letter writing to different groups of people. He writes to husbands, he writes to wives, he writes to kids, he writes to servants, he writes to masters, and then he writes to dads. And you're reading this letter going, wow, what is he going to say to dads? I mean, this must be really good. And all he writes is one sentence. One sentence. And if you look in your outline, you can read that sentence. In fact, I'd like for us to read it out loud together. It's in Ephesians 6, verse 4, and it starts with fathers. Just read this out loud together. You guys ready? Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I thought, Paul, you had one sentence to write in the Bible about this, and that's what you wrote. Don't get your kids angry. But bring up with discipline and instruction in the Lord. And so what I did is I really went deep into this verse. I looked into the original language and found out what's the true meaning in this. And God really convicted me. I want to share with you, Dad, some of the things I've been learning out of this verse. It starts with, do not provoke your children to anger. And I thought, man, I've already failed on that one. You know, every time I discipline my kids, they get angry, right? I don't think Paul's talking about discipline or those kinds of things, but there are times when we get, dads, we get our kids angry and we're at fault. It's not the kid's fault. I think that's the kind of anger that Paul's talking about here. Anger that's justified. Not anger that comes out of discipline because we need to discipline our kids, but anger that just isn't right. And I want to ask dads, not moms, but dads, what are some things that we do that get our kids justifiably angry? Like, you know, you think, yeah, that makes sense why they're angry. That was my bad. That was my fault. What are some things we do as dads that get our kids justifiably angry? Yeah. Ignore them. Right. What else? Forget important days. Yeah, good. Yeah.
More teasing and tickling than necessary.
More teasing and tickling than necessary. Good. Good. Someone said something over here. Don't follow through with what we say. Yeah. I made a list of things. But I thought, what gets our kids angry? And I thought of three things, and I'll say them and we'll go through them. But they get angry when dads aren't around, right? Kids get angry when their dads, I think, are too critical, wouldn't you say? I think kids get angry when dads are just too passive, when they're around but they're not doing anything. And I think Paul addresses each of these in this verse. Now, I want to say that no dads, none of us fail on purpose. No dad wakes up in the morning and says, you know, how can I disappoint my kids today? Oh boy, let me dream of all the ways. Most of us as dads, we fail. When we do fail, it's a mistake. We don't mean to. We want to be better dads. And here at Edgewater, that's what we want to do. We want to help you become a better dad. And I'm on that journey with you. So let's first talk about the first frustration kids have. Number one is this. Kids get angry when their dads aren't around. Now, we don't have any PowerPoint for you guys to look up, so this is on your outline. The first blank is they get kids when dads aren't around. You know, according to the U.S. Census, tonight, a third of children will go to bed in a home without their dad, without their biological father around. Perhaps the greatest cost to an absence of a dad in the home is that it creates a practical absence of moms as well. You know, when dads aren't around, moms, you guys need to end up taking up the slack, right? And you end up working full-time jobs. And so when dads aren't around, kids don't just lose their dads, they lose their moms too. Because their moms are tired, trying to do so much work. Fatherhood is incredibly important. Even those of us who are at home with our kids, sometimes we're so distracted, we're so busy with work, that it feels like we're not around. So what does Paul say? What does the Bible say about this? He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. But then he says, but bring them up. Now, I only had one sentence to work with, so I had to look into that phrase. What does that mean? And I looked into the Greek. You know what that means? It means to nourish them, to feed them, to take time with them. And Paul is saying, if you want to really invest in your kids, here's the first secret. Invest in your kids with your time. Invest in your kids with your time. That bring them up means to nourish, to feed. And you know, I know, and guys, you can relate, when you're trying to watch your health, you're trying to watch your weight, you know, you're trying to nourish yourself, you can't really take care of yourself on the run, can you? You know, whenever I want to eat on the run, guess what I get?
Burgers,
fast food, grease. And I have found, oh, there's my water. You want to get my water for me? I have found that there's no way to nourish my body on the run. If I really want to take care of myself, I've got to put in time. I've got to think about what I'm going to eat. I've got to think about how I'm going to feed myself. And when I do that, that's how I take care of myself. Well, the same thing is true for kids. That they can't be nourished. They can't be brought up on the run. We've got to make time for them. Don't you agree? We've got to do that. We've got to put time into that. You know, your kids don't spell love, L-O-V-E. Your kids are going to spell it T-I-M-E. That's what really shows love. It's putting your time in with them, spending time with them. hanging out with them, enjoying them. And, you know, I've heard some dads say, you know, I don't spend a lot of time with my kids, but when I do spend time with them, it's quality time. And I say, way to go. But you know what? That doesn't count. It's got to be quantity, too. There's nothing that substitutes your time with your kids. Dads, nothing can substitute that. So enjoy it. Use it. Be faithful to God. And invest in your kids. Bring them up. Nourish them. You know, when I get home from work after dinner, I have two little boys, like I said, and they just love to wrestle with me. So we spend a good hour just wrestling on the ground. And my wife, Becky, watches me, and she says, John, you are filling up their cup right now. You're giving them your attention, your time, and they're loving it. And nothing, nothing can be substituted for that. Now, I know that for a lot of you, you're not physically present with your kids because of circumstances that are beyond your control right now. You might have had a divorce and you're no longer with your kids. You might have had a child and the child's living with a mother, and that's beyond your control. I want to say this, that your kids, no matter what the situation, still need your time. And that if possible, you need to somehow get in there with your kids. Pray to God for an opening. Pray to God that He would somehow open an avenue of relationship so you can spend time with your kids. Now, I know that sometimes that's not possible because there's resentment or there's pain and you don't have a door. But I want to say that have in your mind that God wants you to spend quality time with your kids. And for you to do whatever you can within your power to pray for that and ask for an opening. Because they need you. Nothing can substitute for that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, I think the other thing that gets kids angry with us dads, and this is number two, is that they get angry when dads are too critical. Kids get angry when we're just too critical. You know, I was told this before I was a dad. I thought, I'll never do this, but I do this. You know, often when I correct my kid, I correct them for things that I wish, that they're not doing that I wish I did as a kid. So, you know, if they aren't the strongest athlete, I want them to be a strong athlete. If I wasn't a strong athlete, and so I'll start correcting them for that. Or, you know, I sometimes try to fulfill some of my dreams that I wish I was through them. And when they're not like that, I just get harsh on them sometimes. And I can see the frustration in their eyes. Dad, do you do, is that just me? Okay, sorry. It's just me. Yeah, okay. But there's a tendency sometimes to be critical because we're working through our own issues, and we're just overly critical with our kids sometimes. We're quick to judge. We don't hear where our kids are at. I was at Smith's over on Leland. You guys remember that Leland Telegraph? I was at the restaurant a few weeks ago having coffee, doing some work on my computer, on my laptop, and there was this dad and his kids sitting in the booth right next to me. And I was doing my work, but the whole time, the dad was helping his kid with the homework, but the whole time he's just ripping on his kid. This kid was maybe 9 or 10 years old. He's like, you are so stupid. How come I have to keep explaining this to you? Why are you such an idiot? I can't believe your mom told me that you're a good kid. Just on and on and on. And you could just see this kid just totally feeling it. And then the grandma came to pick up the kid, and he kind of gave the kid over. He says, I don't know what's wrong with this kid. He does not know. He does not know what he's doing. He is a slow learner. And he walked away. And now it's easy to point fingers, but I think dads, each of us have a little bit of that in us. Just not happy with our kids and emphasizing on criticalness. Now the Bible says that discipline is good. Discipline is godly. But one of the secrets that we need to learn is that we want to be dads who do godly discipline. We want to be godly discipliners. You know, the Bible says in your outline, fathers, bring your children up in the discipline of the Lord. And here's secret number two. If you want to invest in your kids, invest in your kids with godly discipline. Godly discipline. You know, the Bible makes clear that our kids do not learn right and wrong automatically. They need parents involved in their lives, helping them to make good moral decisions. You know, young men without father figures are twice as likely to be in jail than those with father figures. It's a sad statistic, but there's something about having the father around that builds morality in our kids, teaching right from wrong. And dads, if we're going to be good, we're going to be good at discipline, we need to follow God's model of how to discipline. God reveals Himself as Father. And He shows us how to discipline our kids. And what we're going to find is that when He disciplines us, He sets boundaries and He's extravagant with love. I like what the Bible says in Proverbs 3:11-12. It says, but don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under His loving correction. It's the child He loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all this. Will you circle the words, a father's delight is behind all this? One of the amazing things about God is that when He disciplines us, He doesn't do it out of anger. He does it out of love. And behind all is His delight, because He wants the best for us. And that's the model that God wants for you and me as dads. It's biblical to correct our kids. It's biblical to set boundaries. But God says it's all motivated out of His love. Out of love and not anger. When I was doing a summer internship in East Oakland, I was working with kids who had really tough upbringings. And we were teaching them different language, teaching them Spanish and math. And we got trained before we went in to these schools. And the trainer was just super insightful. He's been doing it for years. He said, here's the deal. Most of these kids did not grow up with a father. Most of them don't have boundaries. No one set boundaries for them. When you go in, set boundaries for them. Now, I want to warn you, when you do that, they're going to be angry with you. But by the end of the summer, you won't believe how much they're going to love you, because you're setting boundaries for them. There's something about setting boundaries, telling kids, this is what you can do and this is what you cannot do, that actually communicates love, because someone for the first time is caring about them. A loving father sets boundaries. And God, our Father, sets boundaries for us, not out of anger, but out of love, because He loves us. And sure enough, by the end of the summer, I had all these kids clamoring around me because someone cared enough to say, don't do this, do this. And it was amazing. Proverbs 29:15 says this, the rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. In other words, kids can't be left to themselves. They need someone to come in and say, let me help you. Let me show you the way. Another verse in Proverbs I just thought was great. It says, discipline your children while they are still young enough to learn. If you don't, you're helping them destroy themselves. Loving discipline. Now, guys, is loving discipline hard? It's much easier for me to either be too much on the boundaries and critical, or to be too passive and let everything go. But to have both those things in one hand is a really tough habit. And all I can say is let God show you who He is and pass it on to your kids. The more you learn about His love for you and the boundaries that He sets, how extravagant He is with you in those boundaries, the better dad you and I will be as we love our kids. Discipline your children while they're still young enough to learn. There was a prophet in the Bible named Eli. Now, prophets in the Bible were people who heard from God and told the people what God was saying. And it was a big honor to be a prophet. This man named Eli was a prophet of God. He would go around and tell people what God was saying. Lots of respect. But towards the end of his life, he was criticized by both his people and by God because he had two sons who caused a lot of trouble, and he did nothing about it. They were wayward. And one of the criticisms was he didn't set boundaries. He was too scared. And I think that fathers, we have a tendency to either be too stern or set no boundaries, and God wants both. Now, I'm a young dad, and I don't have all the answers, but what I found with my kids is that if I am extremely extravagant in love and extremely clear with boundaries and consequences, they love it. Those two things together, extravagant with love, but clear with boundaries and consequences, they love it because both communicate love. You know, I share that when I wrestle with my boys, I fill their bucket. I think discipline, even good discipline, sometimes takes away from that bucket. So what you want to do is have enough time with them invested so that you have like an even bucket. You know what I mean? Like you're filling it up, taking it out, but you need both. You need time of love and time of discipline together. So man, let's be firm with our fatherhood. Let's set clear boundaries, but let's be extravagant with our time and our love. Let's do both and watch our kids rise to the occasion. Amen. Amen. The third thing I think that kids get angry about is they get angry when their dads are too passive. When their dads are too passive. When dads don't take responsibility, even when they're at home. One of the areas I think is hard for us as dads is taking responsibility for our kids' spiritual development. What are they learning about God? What are they learning about the Bible? You know, when I grew up, the person who taught me most about the Bible as a kid was my mom, and she did a wonderful job of that. But I rarely got any of that from my dad. And you might be surprised hearing this from a pastor, but you know, I'm not great at sitting down with my kids and teaching them about God. I realize that my kids get most of that from our church and from my wife, Becky. Now and then, you know, along the road of life, I'll teach them things, but I have not really taken responsibility for that. And yet, here in the Bible, Paul says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the instruction of the Lord." Who's he talking to when he says that? Fathers. Fathers. Now, I want to say, as I was getting ready for this morning, that was the thing that God spoke to me the most about. Because sometimes I rely on Becky or church. But the Bible says, fathers, take responsibility for what your kids are learning about God. Take responsibility for what your kids are learning about Jesus. Take responsibility for what your kids are learning about the Bible. One of the secrets here is to invest in your kids with godly instruction. Invest in your kids with teaching them about God. Knowledge of God, knowledge of the Bible does not come naturally. Instructors are needed. And dads, God is asking us to take responsibility for that, to rise to the occasion and say, we are going to be the ones that steward our kids' education about God. We want to be those people. Some of you are probably thinking, but Pastor John, I don't know anything about the Bible. How can I teach my kids about it? And what I found is that when you don't know anything about something, become the leader of it, and you'll learn really quick. You know, you'll make trips to the Christian bookstore, you'll learn whatever you can. You know, there's resources out there for us, dads. There are children's Bibles, there are youth Bibles, whatever it is. Visit Graceland, wherever you need to go. But when we begin to assume, you know, we're going to be the people in charge, you'll learn, you'll rise up to the occasion. When God called Abraham to be the leader of his people, this is what he said about him in Genesis 18:19. He says, "Yes, I've settled on him as the one to train his children and future family to observe God's way of life. Live kindly and generously and fairly, so that God can complete in Abraham what he promised him." God was saying, "I have chosen Abraham to be the one to train his children and future family. He's the one." Later on, Moses in the Bible says this. He says, "Make sure your children learn them," talking about the laws of the Bible. "Talk about them when you are at home. Talk about them when you are walking along the road. Speak about them when you go to bed. And speak about them when you get up." The deal is, the dads, we want to take responsibility for this. Dads, how many of you find this to be very hard? Yeah, it's incredibly hard. It's much easier to rely on our wives or our spouses, their church. But our kids will grow to the occasion when we say, you know what, this is something I want to take responsibility for. This is something I want to rise to the occasion for. So be the primary spiritual educator of your children. Do whatever it takes. Some of you are thinking, Pastor John, I am so messed up. My life isn't right. I don't have everything together. How can I do this? I've tried, but I'm not the model that my kids want to see. And you know, I read this thing, interesting enough, that I thought really applies to this. A man writes, "Imagine, men, that you are an orange tree. Okay? You are an orange tree, but you want to be an apple tree. Okay? You're an orange tree, but you want, you know, you are a certain type of person, but you want to be a different type of person for your kids. Well, what we tend to do, man, is we tend to go walk over to Home Depot or whatever nursery, and we buy a bunch of apples, or probably the grocery store, we buy a bunch of apples, and we tape the apples, do we duct tape the apples to our orange tree leaves, thinking, hey, I'm a changed person. The problem is that after a while, the apples are going to rot, right? And they're going to fall off. And then next year, when the season comes, you're going to grow oranges again. It doesn't work. And a lot of us think that being a Christian is all about just trying to put more apples on our orange tree leaves, trying to be a different person. But God says, no, the only way you're going to be an apple tree is to total reroot yourself and plant yourself again in new soil as a different tree. And when we talk about that, that's what the Christians talk about when they say what it means to be born again. Nicodemus, a religious leader, came to Jesus and says, tell me what to do, Jesus. And Jesus says, if you really want to become the person that God wants you to be, it's not about making adjustments in your life. It's about being born totally all over again. And Nicodemus says, what, you want me to go back to my mom's womb? And Jesus says, no. It means being replanted spiritually. It's saying, God, I'm not going to go on some self-improvement program. I'm going to give my life totally to you. I ask you to change me from the ground up. Reroot me as someone new. I want to produce apples, but you're the only one that can make me an apple tree. That's what we need to do. So, fathers, here's what I want us to do. Together, I want us to now take responsibility for our children's knowledge about God. Okay? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Seek out whatever resources you need to complete that role. Teach what you're learning. If all you have is what you're hearing in church today, teach it to your kids. Find out what you need to take responsibility. If you need resources, ask people in your growth group. That's why we have growth groups, so we can ask for help in these things. Can you imagine for a moment if, men, we were a church of fathers who took responsibility for our children's spiritual growth? Wouldn't that be amazing? Can you imagine the transformation that would happen? Dads that actually care and are putting time into teaching their kids about our loving Heavenly Father. It would change everything. About a month ago, I went to In-N-Out Burger. I go out to food a lot. And I was reading a book, and I saw this dad with his daughter. And he was talking to her. She was maybe 6 years old. He went down on her level and was teaching her, or talking to her very sweetly. I thought, what a cool dad. You know, he's taking time with his daughter and really talking to her in a nice voice and very kind. And then I hear out of my right ear him say, "Do you need help with that chair?" And I turn around, and this elderly lady was walking in and out, and she couldn't get through some chairs, and so he asked if he can move some chairs for her. And so he got up and did that. I thought, wow, really cool guy. I like this. And then I saw his wife come in with the burgers. And the three of them, In-N-Out Burger, sat in a little circle, held hands, and prayed. And thanked God for their greasy burgers. You know, even before he prayed, I thought, there's something about this guy that I see God's spirit in him. Something about the way he's doing life. And when he sat down and prayed with the kids, I thought, that's it. That was Jesus. He's an apple tree. He's given his life to Jesus, and things change. He's sweet with his daughter. He's helpful with strangers. He leads his family in prayer. I thought, I want to be that kind of dad. And so, men, let's help each other. Let's be good for one another. Let's talk to each other about our kids. How are you doing? How's fatherhood going? How are your kids doing? How can we be helpful to each other? Let's be men who rise up to the occasion and be the fathers that God wants us to be. Men, you are noble creatures, created by God to be the spiritual leaders of your family. May you be blessed by Him. Now, we have a gift for you to celebrate this. However, instead of just handing those gifts to you, I want to invite all the men 15 years and older to just stand up and come up here for a moment. Men 15 years and older, would you just come? It doesn't matter if you're a dad or not. We just want to bless you as a man. So come on up.